Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for the month of May. Sure, it's May. Here we are. So we're going to call it for the month of May. We've been not very consistent with these, and we apologize. But we're going to have a good time today. So, of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm good, sir. What's going on?
Not much, man. And we're also joined on this month's roundtable by our boy, Chad. Been a while, Chad. How you doing?
What's up, Beardy and Wheels? Hey, you know it's June 2nd, right? And it's not May.
Yeah, that's fair, isn't it?
Did I just ruin that? Did I just ruin the magic? Because you said it's May.
Yeah, nope. It would have been smooth if I would have thought that much like in advance to try to pass it off as May. I literally just haven't been able to keep track of days.
You thought it was
May.
You're a new father.
So I'm a new father, so having a clue.
You're all fucked up in that hole.
Time means nothing to me at this point.
I got you.
Yep. So, you know, we also have our boy Spider. What's up, Spider?
If you believe in the multiverse, then it's May somewhere.
That's right. Thank you, Spider. I appreciate the support. But not here. Not in this universe. So This is the roundtable for May / beginning of June. Who knows? Whatever. We're here. We're going to talk about video games. It's going to be a good time. So plan for today, because it's a week out from E3. We're going to talk about some E3 stuff and see what everybody's looking forward to at E3. Any fun predictions, that kind of stuff. Also talk about some of what we've been playing. And by we, I mean y'all, because I've been playing very little. But we'll see.
That's why you've been playing some stuff, and it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. It happened like yesterday. I've played a little bit, so we get that to talk about. So we've got a good show ahead of you. So let's start with E3. We're pumped because we got E3 coming up, and Jamie's going to be here in about a week, which is going to be a good time. But this is the time of year that we get to anticipate and talk about what we're excited about or what we think might happen or whatever. So Spider, I'm going to start with you, so get your thinking cap on. What is it about E3 this year that you are looking forward to?
So Sony's doing their PlayStation E3 experience again, and I missed out last year. I didn't find out in time to sign up for tickets, but I always go to that with my brothers. I had the previous 2 years, and so that's been a fun tradition for us. And so since we know it's coming up, the tickets for that are available, I think, on Monday. I've got a reminder on my phone.
So explain to us how that works, because I've never been to that. Like, what's the deal there?
So, it's actually Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday at 12. So if you have a theater near you that Sony's partnered with, you can go to the theater and you basically watch the Sony press conference from the theater. They give you out a bunch of cool swag. Like one year we got PSN game cards and posters and cup and stuff like that. So there's some cool stuff that you get, and it's kind of fun to be. I was in the audience when they first announced the Final Fantasy VII remake, which was awesome because everyone was kind of freaking out in the theater, and there's tons of cheering. Same thing with Shenmue 3, and there was that year where there was like a whole slew of crazy stuff that all got announced. So this year I'm hoping we get something about Final Fantasy VII Remake. All the news I've been reading about that kind of points towards them having to reset. I guess they changed the team that was working on it, and maybe they're starting from scratch. So I don't know how far away that game is, but I want to hear more about that. And then I just want to hear something like new IP, new, like I remember when Horizon Zero Dawn was first revealed, how excited I was for that. So just something like that, that's new IP that, you know, has a cool aesthetic that looks exciting.
Awesome. By the way, I just pulled up the locations for the PlayStation experience. Dallas is sadly not one of them, which I'm kind of surprised by.
I was like, dude, we can go to that. That'd be awesome.
But no, we can't. There's one in Houston, but we're not making a trip to Houston for that.
No.
Also one in Oklahoma City, which is about as far away from here as Houston is. We're right in the middle of Oklahoma City and Houston. But alas, not one in Dallas. If you're in just about any other major city, though, New York or L.A., interestingly enough, there's two L.A. theaters that are participating, also you could go live in LA, but whatever. If you can't get tickets there, which I'm sure you probably can't. It looks like one outside of Atlanta, Chamblee, Georgia. I don't know where that is, but I would only assume that's a suburb of Atlanta. Chicago, Boston, Kansas City, Raleigh, North Carolina, Columbus, Ohio, Philadelphia, Nashville, Salt Lake City. So if you're in or near one of those cities and interested in going and watching the PlayStation conference at a local theater, that'd be a cool experience. And get some swag out of it, apparently. It sounds like fun. I'm now really bummed there's not one in Dallas.
See, I was pumped there for a minute. I was like, yeah, we could go do that.
I know.
Yeah, there's one in Boise, but there's not one in Dallas. Explain that one to me.
Right? And in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay. It's not Miami or whatever. Mm-hmm. So one in Las Vegas. That'd be a fun one to go to. So, you know. Alas, not in Dallas. So we're not going. But we will anticipate a report from Spider. I'm excited to hear about your experience and all the cool swag and everything.
Segment! Yes.
So
I can do it right here on the show next time we meet.
Or you can do both.
And that's true.
So, so Chad, what about you? What are you looking forward to from E3 this year?
The obvious, Last of Us 2. You know, I would imagine we're going to get some plot. We're going to get some story details. We're going to get some gameplay finally. And hopefully we'll get a release date. Seems like that's what they're really pushing for. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's just kind of been already out there, and has been raked over by everybody. You know, here's my prediction, and there's been rumblings around, we're going to see something from Rocksteady. I mean, how many years has Rocksteady been quiet now? I mean, four years.
Yeah.
They've been working on something. You know, and lately there's been a bunch of rumors, unverified rumors, that they're working on a Superman game and they're going to announce it soon. I'm hoping Rocksteady is that big secret that we're all waiting for.
Man, if there was a Superman game that didn't suck, that would change the world.
I can't even think of a Superman game that does suck. Like, I just can't think of a Superman video game. I'm sure
they
exist.
Wait, what? Superman 64, like,
hey,
the Rings of Death, like,
I don't remember that even a little bit,
dude. Oh. It was awful.
Oh yeah, the EA Superman, what was it for 360, right? And it had all this promise of Superman, and he was going to be fast and powerful, and Metropolis, and you could fly around, and it's supposed to be the equivalent of kind of Batman Arkham. It sucked, man. It was terrible. There were some cool moments flying, but that was about it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't remember them. They were so bad. So that would be cool. That would legit be fun. So,
but regardless, yeah. I mean, we should see something great from Rocksteady.
Hope.
We should really be thinking about those studios that, you know, a big studio like Rocksteady that's been quiet for years. I mean, not just quiet, but silent since, you know, Arkham Knight. What are they doing? They have to be making something. They didn't retire.
Are you hoping for something new as opposed to something else Batman?
They're not doing anything else Batman. They've said that. I don't know if it's contract wise or whatever, but they specifically said we're done with Batman after Arkham Asylum. So I don't know if that's our contract with Warner. I didn't look into it. You know, I didn't know you're going to ask me questions. No, they're not, at least take it by their word, not doing anything by that. And you know what? I'm excited for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. You know, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Origins. You know, I probably sunk 40, 50 hours into that a couple months ago. And it's really, really good. And this Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the details that are leaking out about it, that it's going to have conversational trees and it's going to be a little more RPG like in Assassin's Creed Origins. There was a lot more RPG elements to it, which gave it a lot more of that carrot and stick for me. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed building my character and his strengths and everything. So I really want to see where they go, since almost feels like a little bit of a reboot. They went back to the very original Assassins, and this is supposed to be not a continuation of the same characters, but a building upon that story. They haven't said how many years later. Or...
You are like the third or fourth person that I've talked to that said Origins was really good. So now I'm like, I got to play it.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem with Assassin's Creed is, you know, that it is very much a collect-a-thon a lot of the time. Origins took a lot of that out. There's still a lot of little things around, but there's not go collect 500,000 feathers and you might get a different, you know, costume. They don't really do that as much, and they gave it a lot more of a feel like Horizon Zero Dawn, to where the side missions felt like they meant something. At least a lot of them did. A lot of them are just run and assassinate missions, but other ones do mean something and do have some really good parts of the side story. The combat, they fixed a lot of that. The climbing, a lot of that stuff. I mean, but some of the monotony, like I would have to go from point A to point B. I could actually, and I've been told this is not a new mechanic, but it is for Assassin's Creed. But I could get in and I could tell, you know, you set your waypoint and then you tell your horse to go to that waypoint. And then I could go take a shit, you know, or go get a beer or something along those lines. And when I come back, it's there. Like, it can get attacked along the way, but for the most part, it'll run and outrun, you know, attackers and so on and so forth. But like little stuff like that meant a lot to me, that I didn't just have to sit while I was traversing the entire world multiple times. So they made a lot of little fixes like that to make the game more palatable, you know, for the long haul.
That's awesome.
Is that
That's...
coming this year, or is that a... Do we know if they're taking a year off to work on that like they did with Origins?
They said by the end of their fiscal year, and it was the end of the fiscal year was, I believe it was March 2019. So at the very latest, it's not that far away. So, you know, within the next 8 or 9 months, a lot of people are saying they believe very early 2019. Some people are saying fall, or not fall. Yeah, fall. But fall's ugly, you know. I mean, you know, who wants to jump into fall right now? Yeah. I mean, we got Red Dead, we got Tomb Raider, we got Spider-Man, we got, you know, we got what, Battlefield 5 and Call of Duty 50,000. I don't know. I mean, whatever. Like, who gives a shit about that? But who in their right? What company in their right mind wants to release the game? Unless it's Nintendo, which is a totally different market. Like, let's release some kind of Mario game, Mario Tennis, wherever in the middle of all that, because different people are going to buy that. You know, they're not going to cannibalize each other.
Yeah, I will say I fear for Assassin's Creed that they're already kind of going back down the oversaturation thing. That feels like Origin was like this great like kind of reboot of the franchise after they had put out just iteration after iteration that I just lost count of. I just don't even know how many of them there were. I loved the game when it first came out, and I haven't played the last several. Origin feels like a reboot, and then I fear Odyssey is going to start that ball rolling again, and maybe it's a great game, but I even think just the kind of proximity in its release date to when Origins came out, it could get overshadowed. So I hope for their sake too that they probably push it back into next year, that it comes out closer to that March date than around holiday season.
Are we sure though? Because I don't... Origins has been out for a year now, right? Was it July of last year?
I think so. Yeah, it's been out for a while.
If you push to early 2019, I mean, that's a year and a half. You know, yeah, they have...
I think that's fair.
They have what, two studios working on these? I mean, this is a different studio. So this is Ubi Montreal, offhand. But yeah, they've got two or three studios. I mean, you have Call of Duty doing the same, you know, you have the three studio cycle. So as long as they get in a cycle where we're only getting it every year and a half or 2 years, that might be good. But yeah, we were getting that. It felt like almost every 9 months at times, you know, especially in Assassin's Creed 2 days, where we're getting Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Assassin's Creed 2, you know, because we love you, you know, we know you love Ezio version. Like, it's just Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they don't go back to that. Call of Duty, I think, does the same thing where they've just oversaturated and just it's pump out the game after the game after the game. And I think it, Call of Duty probably doesn't reflect this as much as Assassin's Creed, but I think for Assassin's Creed, it turned a lot of people off just because they were kind of numb to it after a while. So,
well, Assassin's Creed tried to pretty much connect all of them, whereas Call of Duty is the 3-year cycle, right, where you get Black Ops every 3 years. So they don't try to make them all thread the needle for this, whereas Assassin's Creed did, and it just got so crazy and convoluted.
By the way, since you brought up Black Ops, I'm going to throw in a curveball here. Rumor-wise, I don't know, I haven't checked up on this recently, but when is it a new Black Ops game that was announced or whatever?
Yes,
has the Battle Royale mode potentially or whatever. They haven't given a lot of details. But one of the details I heard is that it's likely not to have a campaign mode, or there's a chance
that's
that
already confirmed.
Is it confirmed?
They've confirmed that there's no campaign. Yeah, they did a thing on, I'm pretty sure.
I've been disconnected, so.
I'm still here.
am I correct in saying I thought they did like a week ago? They confirmed that Activision confirmed that
there's no campaign in the new.
I don't follow Call of Duty news. It's not a franchise that interests me. So
everything enough. I heard was that they got six months into actually building one. They didn't like the way it was going, so they scrapped it to put that focus somewhere else. You know, because they've only got. They only had so much time left to build it, and there just wasn't enough time. Otherwise, they would have had to delay the game, and they're not going to do that. At least those are the rumors that came out. But I'm pretty darn sure they did confirm that there is no – that they are going to have some where you go do some missions, and those missions will have small stories. Not exactly vignettes like we had with Battlefield 1, but some small storyline stuff.
Gotcha. That's I just think of the Call of Duty kind of franchises. Black Ops feels like the one that like had the story side of it kind of better put together than the others did, and so it was kind of a bummer to me. I'm not a big Call of Duty person, so I don't really care too much either way. But of the Call of Duty games, it's always felt like Black Ops was the one that kind of felt good as that single player experience, and now it's not going to be part of the game, which is a bummer.
And that's just you and me, dude. I think we're the only two people on the face of planet that care.
Like, I think so, too. Especially with Call of Duty. Nobody's playing Call of Duty for the campaign, but that's who we are.
Yeah, I haven't played since 4. That was my last one.
Yeah.
Which I love the campaign in that one.
If I play it, it's only for the campaign. I mean, you know. Was it Infinite Warfare or whatever? I actually really liked that campaign, but I never played it online. You know, World War II, just the campaign. I don't want to go on and get, you know, have 12-year-olds just destroy me and then.
Amen, brother.
And then teabag me. Like, I mean.
the last Call of Duty campaign was excellent. And because I actually got a chance to see a little bit of that. And, I saw like 3 hours out of the 6-hour campaign, and that was ripping. And so for them to put something like that out and then to not have it, what I'm excited about there is when it comes back, maybe we get another good one.
Yeah, I hope so. But so honestly,
Jamie, when is that control? I mean, you say I feel for you, man. I'm going to rip you apart at some point during this podcast, but you know, I think you're a great guy. Don't tell anybody I said that. But
it's already starting.
You're a good kid. that accessible control. When is that supposed to come out? Have they announced that? Or is that going to be an E3 announcement kind of thing?
That's where I was going for E3. I hope we see that thing, because both Tommy and I are really excited about that. And I'm excited to have it available for the Xbox and the PC, but what I'm really, really, really hoping is that it comes out at E3 and Sony says, okay, now we're going to rip it off, because I really want one for the PlayStation. Yeah. Like I'll use it for the PC, and I'll probably even buy an Xbox One if I have that controller for Halo. But I really, really want it for the PlayStation.
So it's confirmed to be Xbox One compatible and PC, Windows 10 compatible? Sure. Yes. Is it just Windows 10 or is it Mac or
Windows 10 as far Windows 10. As I know.
Okay. Yeah, which to be honest,
it's a Microsoft product.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And you care about PC gaming more. So that would be cool if it works on Mac. I'm sure there'll be some way to make it work on a Mac. Like you can use an Xbox controller on a Mac. I'm almost certain. I think I've done it before. It sounds familiar. So
and like my thing with that is like I would, if that thing comes out, I would buy an Xbox One X or whatever the latest one is out there at that point just for Halo.
You don't need to buy an S. The X is $500. You can still buy the 1S, which is, you know, all the time for like $200.
I'm just saying I would put down the money exclusively for Halo if they gave me a controller that worked.
Do you think we see new Halo at E3? That there's possibility of that?
I think it's way too quiet. There's been zero leaked about it. People have said, hey, well, maybe there'll be a Halo, but there's been nothing leaked, literally nothing. And Microsoft isn't that good, keeping secrets. So,
does that make you think Microsoft's just going to have a bummer of a show because there's nothing good that's leaked, or like maybe there is something?
They have to have a teaser, right? I mean, of either Halo or Gears. I mean, there has to be. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know that there has to be something. I mean, because the last show pretty much sucked.
Oh, there has to be something. They're
Crackdown. We're going to see lots of Crackdown, I imagine. Oh,
Crackdown.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
That was my favorite. That was great. So, I will say there is a new Halo game coming that I've read about a couple weeks ago. To Dave and Buster's, there's a Halo arcade game coming, which is kind of awesome, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. But if you go to Dave and Buster's, you can play Halo.
Yeah, not done by 343. Done by the same company that did, I think, the Jurassic Park game. The arcade game that you're sitting the buggy and all that stuff. So, but yeah, definitely not done by 343. So they're still working on Halo, heads down on that.
Yeah.
Just a real quick backup on that controller. What's interesting about that controller to me is the price point. Because the price point's $100.
I think it's a great price for something like that.
I don't know what it is, a great price, but then my question becomes how much are all the accessories? Because you gotta buy the pedals and all of that. So you buy the
base for $100 pedals and stuff. Is that stuff that's been discussed or are you just assuming?
No. It's in the video. They got pedals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the way it works is that you pay $100 for the like base unit, but all the modular components you have to buy extra.
You could buy different modulars depending on your form of accessibility, your handicap.
Okay. Yeah. So whatever your needs are, you can go out and get those specific foot pedals or switches or even like high-end, like crazy motion stuff or whatever. But yeah, all that's going to cost extra on top of that. And so that's going to be where the trick comes into the price point. And I'm curious to see if Microsoft is releasing any first party peripherals for it, or if they're just going to depend on all the stuff that already exists out there.
I got to imagine. Go ahead.
Jamie, I'm generally curious, like would the foot pedals help you as far as using them with your hands or anything, or is there zero there that does for you?
My feet are worse than my hands.
Is Jamie breaking up for anyone else, or is that just me?
Hey, Jamie, can you repeat that one more time?
You broke up there.
I was just saying that if you put my feet on top, some foot pedals are going to be worthless.
Well, that's why I said your hands. I was wondering if that there's any kind of benefit to having it sitting on a desk, something you can hit quickly, or that's, a large object,
That's what we were talking about on the last show. Like, it's been almost 20 years since I played anything, right? And so obviously my hands have changed. So I like to think that I would know what it is that I need, but I honestly believe that I don't have a clue. And I think I'm going to have to just buy some stuff and figure it out.
Yeah. Did you say on the last episode that it will also come with or be available ways to possibly like mount it on your chair? Because I mean, those I would think that would be also be very important to be able to somehow stabilize it where you're sitting, you know, so it's you're not trying to reach over to a desk. And
well, I have, and most people that have a chair probably have a tray that mounts onto the chair, and then you put the controller on the tray.
Okay.
But I do think it will have mounting hardware. I saw in the video, I think they had one version of it where it was like on a bracket where it was mounted. So it was like up and down instead of laying flat. And so, again, depending on what your accessibility needs are, you can modify it to get to where you are.
Oh, just imagine that would be one of the things. Because if it's sitting flat and you don't have all the motor control, you're going to be moving it around. Whereas if it has some form, when it has some form of mounting, you know, it's stable in its place. I would imagine that would make it much easier to use as well, that right. you're not fighting against a frictionless surface and it just sliding around all the time.
Right. And like I said, it's going to be an adventure for me because at this point I don't have a clue what I need because I haven't played since I was 25 years old, you know.
What would be really nice is cuz I looked up, it looks like they have a Microsoft store there in Dallas. It would be nice if they had it on display so you could come in, try out all the peripherals, figure out what worked for you, and then, you know, walk out of the store with the exact setup that's going to work for you.
I can't imagine they wouldn't have something like that. Yeah. Those Microsoft stores are pretty awesome when it comes to that. You know, having everything out, being super helpful. The one in Dallas. Apple store.
Yeah, the one in Dallas is one of the ones, or maybe multiple ones in Dallas, but there's one that's in a mall that we walk by on a regular basis. They still have their Vive set up that they've had for 2 years now of a demo station, and people are still going in there and playing around with stuff. And so, yeah, they're good about having stuff available, so I hope they do. And that'd be a good field trip for us to go check out and play around with and get some content out of, too. So we can hope. Jamie, yeah. Anything else E3 real quick, I imagine that we're going to do a bigger show of kind of our predictions and all that kind of stuff. So don't give everything away now, but anything else that you're excited about E3 wise before we move on?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm scared of, and we're probably going to talk a lot more about this on the next show, but I'm scared of Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Like, that scares the crap out of me because I don't see any way in the world that that's good.
So like, then don't play it.
That's fair. But I'm going to push back a little bit and say, like, the survival game mechanic, like Rust, is really kind of fun. And so I think that in a Fallout world could be brilliant. I think it could be really, really, really cool. I think it could suck too. It's a wild card to me, but I am really excited to see more of Fallout 76 because I'm really curious to how they're going to try to pull this. Again, it's not even confirmed that that's what it is, but everybody's pretty sure that that's what it is. It's kind of online survival game a la Rust or all those other ones that are out on Steam right now. That's very, very trendy, and so it could get stuck in that kind of trendy thing. Well, but it's a world that's kind of ripe for that kind of gameplay. And so I hope they pull it off.
And we've said it like 3 years in a row, but the thing that I'm most excited about, because I'm getting to your house at some point on Saturday night, right? And part of the reason I'm leaving so early is so that I can be at your house for Sunday when Bethesda does their thing, because that thing has captivated us for like the last 2 years. So I'm excited about their whole conference in general to see what they come with.
What new Skyrim thing do you think they're going to announce?
Does it matter at this point? Whatever it is, we're going to buy it. I mean, come on, man. I am honestly, Skyrim's one of those things that like I could install it on my rig right now and start playing and lose another 20 hours and not care.
Yeah, we dog it in the gaming community all the time because it's just kind of doesn't die. But there's a reason it doesn't die. It's because so many people are still freaking playing that game. Like, there's so many people still playing Skyrim. And so they see it as a cash cow, and they're going to cash in on it. And so, yeah, I hope we don't see anything new Skyrim. I hope we get a teaser of whatever the next Elder Scrolls standalone game is. I don't know that we will. But because we already know Fallout is coming, because they leaked Fallout before E3, you would think that they're still holding on to something to do at the conference that's going to be, you know, big news.
Well,
so
see, what I'm wondering about is if we're going to get sequels to games that are out there. I mean, Spider's been playing Doom, and everybody that plays Doom says Doom's fabulous.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we're going to get more Doom content. More Wolfenstein type stuff. You know, like, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, I think more Doom would be a big deal. I think that would be a good kind of showstopper too.
Do you think we will, with them already teasing Rage 2 being the thing that they're going to talk about?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that excited about Rage 2, and so I don't know. Maybe not.
See, like, I would much rather see the next Doom than what's going on with Rage.
Yeah, I would too, for sure. Or even Wolfenstein. It feels like Wolfenstein's too new, like that it's Doom is up before Wolfenstein is on what's coming next. But yeah, whatever it is, I agree. I've really enjoyed Bethesda. I just like Bethesda games. And I think that's, you know, like the Bethesda conference, like at least last year, we liked it and then got so much pushback of people who really didn't like it. I think it just really comes down to, like, do you really like Bethesda games or not? If you're kind of so-so on Bethesda games, I could see how it's not as exciting. But we love a lot of the Bethesda stuff. And so for us, it's awesome. It's really fun to see that new thing. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I agree. I'm really pumped about it. I want to see a lot. I'm going to throw in one more game, and then we'll move on and talk about other stuff. I'm really excited to see more Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah!
It could suck.
It might not be great, but I don't care. I want to see a lot more Beyond Good and Evil 2. They've already teased out some more of the stuff, some of the gameplay and battle and all that kind of stuff. And so there's content out there if you want to go find it now that's new from last year's E3 or whatever. But I hope that they somewhere spend a lot of time in the UB conference, you would imagine. But it'd be interesting to see where else it may show up at. I'm excited about that game. And so, yeah, show us a lot of Beyond Good and Evil 2.
I think in general this year E3 is going to be like we do this prediction stuff every year, and it's been several years since we got disappointed. So I feel like this year at E3 is going to be, my whole thing is, whatever it is that you do, whatever the company it is, whether it's Microsoft, Sony, or whatever, just don't blow it, because I remember last year at E3 with Microsoft's press conference and how bad it was. I'm like, you don't come to E3 with that.
Yeah.
And so all I really want is good content from everybody, because we have more games than we can play at this point. So just give us more good stuff.
I agree. And I think software is going to be a big deal. I'm excited about Metroid Prime. There's a bunch of stuff. But let me say one thing really quick on Microsoft. I think they're poised in the silly, like, winners and losers kind of thing. I know it doesn't really work that way, but we like framing stuff in that spectrum. I think that Microsoft is poised, if they can pull it off, to come out the big winner of E3, because I feel like we have a pretty good idea of what both Sony and Nintendo are going to do. And I really haven't a clue what Microsoft is going to do. Like, Sony's already kind of said, here's our plan. We're showing these four games. We're going to spend a lot of time on them. And of course, they're going to have some surprises in there and some other stuff. But if they stick to that and really focus on those four games, well, we know what big titles we're going to be talking about after Sony press conference. And I think we have a pretty good idea of what titles we're going to be talking about after Nintendo. They just announced a new Pokemon, and so that's going to show up a big way there. There's new Super Smash Brothers coming. That's obviously going to be a big deal. I imagine we'll see a new Metroid. We might see another Zelda expansion, and that will be big news. But we kind of know what to expect. Microsoft, I have no idea what to expect. And so if they come and like show stuff that's good and is exclusive, I think we walk away from E3 going, well, maybe it's time for an Xbox One. Maybe they finally have convinced us. This is the year I think they could pull that off.
I mean, don't you think a big announcement would be, you know, Xbox One, $199 permanent price drop? I mean, I think that would be a way to start it along with
content. Yes. I think that would be fantastic. Anytime there's a price drop, I think it's a good thing. Do that and give us at least one big game that we weren't necessarily expecting, a Halo or a Gears or something else. Doesn't have to be one of those, but something that's exclusive. Or have Rockstar come out and show off Red Dead in the Microsoft conference or whatever. You know, like there's ways that there's games that we know are going to be on the PlayStation 4 that Sony's apparently not going to dedicate time to because they're not first party. Microsoft could kind of capitalize on that and at least, you know, make a big deal, even if it's going to be there. Of always, they have the little like play it on the Xbox and you'll get free whatever, or, you know, get it a month early or whatever. They could do something like that and it'd be a big deal too.
And my thing is, like, this is our favorite time of the year, right? So, to me, it's all about, again, just give us something. Give us what we want to see. Don't suck. You know?
Jamie's rules for life. Give us don't what we want to see. Don't suck. It feels like a pretty good strategy. I like it. Yeah. So. Quickly, let's talk about some games y'all been playing. So, Chad, I'll start with you this time. What have you been playing recently?
Oh, man. What haven't I been playing? I, for the most part, was playing Assassin's Creed and then was playing, whatchamacallit? Boy. God of War. God of War 4.
Is that, boy, gave it away.
Boy!
Game could just be called Boy and everybody would know really what it is.
Boy. God of War, man. I know you were not very far into it when I was listening to the last episode and I was just flipping the my headphones off, like, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. You're not even into it and you're just conjecturing.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really very good. How far have you guys gotten into it?
Slightly all. Farther, yeah, not
slightly. But look, I will tell you this. I have it up on the screen next to me because I just hit pause.
You cuddling with it? Like what?
Yeah, I sort of am because it's that good. And we've just
he's got that one nipple out, and it's got you right.
It's that good, yes sir, yes sir. I'll give you that.
You should see that nipple on the PS4 Pro, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, now we know that we have a reason for buying one. You know, I mean, if that's what it takes. But here's my thing about God of War. Okay, I'll talk about what I've been playing in a minute because it's sort of kind of
nobody cares.
Similar. Actually, it's a current game, so go check up
with no. That.
But my thing with God of War is we just got our first significant bit of story with the witch. And to me, that whole bit with the witch was absolutely compelling because that's where the story started for me. Yeah, his wife died, but then, you know, it's like, then you come up on this lady that starts talking, and you get this idea that she's going to be around.
How frantic, and there's, I just want to comment on this part of the story beat, because since you're at that part, where you're doing the hunting, and you have these very cool moments with your son, you know, as Kratos. Yeah. And then he goes off chasing this animal that he's wounded. And how effectively do they change the gameplay and make it foggy and make you feel confused and make you feel frantic that you can't find
it? And Kratos is freaking out. Like,
well, that's what I mean. And they do it so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the way they're able to change the tone and manipulate you on a turn like that so easily. I mean, I felt frantic. Where is he? Where's boy? Boy! You know, he's freaking out.
Yeah. It's remarkable how different this God of War game is from all the other God of War games in that emotional kind of quality. That it's like deep and like heart wrenching at times, and like the game that was like Bro of War before, you know, like that was just like killing things constantly. Like the whole game feels different, other than Kratos kind of still looking like Kratos, but even with the full beard and being older or whatever, like it's just familiar enough to feel God of War, but it's such a changed game experience for the better. I love it. It's fantastic, but it's so radically
and
different.
And I feel like that's what gets me about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have that tight third person.
I feel like
and single
that's
shot.
What gets me about it because.
Oh,
go ahead, Chad. Sorry.
Oh no, no, you kept breaking up, so I thought you had stopped talking. Sorry. Well, you have that very tight, almost claustrophobic at times third person, which gives you a lot more of an intimate feel. I mean, it's able to portray so much more. And then when you do lose track of Atreus. Yeah. When you do lose track of Atreus, you feel it because it's not like you have this omnipotent view. You're right there third person on Kratos's back, and you feel that claustrophobia, you feel that want and need that he wants to find him and can't find him and is confused and frantic. That it doesn't that single camera, single shot look of the game becomes less of a gimmick, and it becomes so much of a piece of the story, an important piece of the storytelling that allows them to play with your emotions in so many different ways than we've been able to do before. Because before, you know, at times you would get a cut and you'd see the boy run off or get grabbed. This, we don't know what happened. There's no cut scene. There's nothing to show us anything.
Well, yeah. And the thing that got me in that space is that the pacing completely changed. Like, you're killing stuff, you're trying to find something, and then he gets lost. Like, and Kratos is freaking out, and the pacing completely changed. And then he finds him, and he comes up on this woman that says, "I know who you are," right? And you get this hint that here comes the story. And all I could think was, I don't care what else I have to do today. I want more of this.
Yeah, it's so well done.
Tommy, I'm going to teach you a dad secret right now so you can play more video games. All right, buddy? Yeah. You ready?
Yes, please.
Got a pen and paper?
I'm ready.
Okay, you get one of them little tabletop swings. Uh-huh. They're awesome, man. I mean, babies love to sleep, and that babies love to sleep all the time at this age.
Yeah. See,
with that baby right there on the coffee table in front of you with a little tabletop swing. I mean, it's being observed. You're right there. You're watching your child. They're going to sleep good, 2 hours before it's bottle time, 2 hours of gameplay at a time. Right there, right in front of you, either that or just rock them with your foot, something like that. And you just play.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I mean, I play games with her in my arms at this point. It happens. Yeah. So you do what you got to do sometimes to make it work.
Parenting with Chad.
Yes. I am going to as much video games as Chad plays as a parent of three kids.
Three kids. Yeah. Two of them are back now.
Right. I'm going to be reaching out to Chad for advice on a regular basis. So, Spider, what about you? What have you been playing?
Unfortunately, not a whole lot. I've been watching more games than I've been playing games. I like Giant Bomb's channel. I've been watching a lot of their, because they pick up a lot of strange or unusual indie stuff that I don't think a whole lot of people are looking at. And so I've just been watching their quick looks of, you know, little 20 to 20 minute to an hour walkthroughs of various games, and adding, you know, tons of stuff to my Steam list that I'm not, I've told myself is not going to be bought until I start clearing some stuff out. So it'll probably just never get bought, but I keep wanting to play it. And it's the same thing with God of War. It's like, I really want to buy and play that game, but I've already got so much stuff. I mean, Zelda alone is going to keep me busy for a long time. And so, yeah.
Yeah. How are you liking Zelda, dilemma, by the way, since last we chatted?
I have not picked it up since we last chatted. I can't. Every time I get a moment, I'm like, oh, I could play Zelda for a couple hours, or I could just go learn about six other new video games by watching something on Giant Bomb, and I can eat snacks at the same time. So I end up doing that.
Fair.
You know, I
so it's not been exciting for me. Sorry,
Spider.
Is that
Spider? You made me feel better, dude. Because I feel like when Tommy and I say that, you guys look at us and you're like, "You don't surprise us, you idiots. You suck." But that's exactly how we feel sometimes.
I get it.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Am I just lost in that? Is that more of a generational thing? Like, I don't like to watch other people play video games. Like, it bores me to tears. I understand, well, Jamie. Jamie, it's a necessity thing. Like, I don't want to watch people play video games.
If they were sitting there not talking and playing the game, then I would be bored. But it's because I enjoy the personalities and the back and forth between them that, you know, it's just the same.
How do you
thing with,
watch? Describe to me, how do you watch your watching? Like, I don't like sitting in front of my computer and watching things either. Are you doing that? Like, if I could sit in front of the TV and watch it, maybe I would.
No, generally I'm in front of the computer, but I mean, my screen's like 27 inches, so it's not like it's, and I'm almost right next to it, so it's like a big screen almost when I'm only a foot away from it, so.
I got a 27 inch monitor. I don't watch anything.
I also have a super comfy chair, so it's kind of like sitting in front of a TV.
I got the big old gaming chair. I mean, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. Is it because I'm old?
I think that's it.
I think you need to do some soul searching and figure it out for yourself.
Dad, here's the thing. Because I'm kind of right there with you. The only reason I do it is because I have no choice.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, you have a reason. Like, but it's obvious it's hugely popular and people all the time. I have friends that, you know, other than you guys with Twitch channels that do very well. I don't get it.
I'm with you there. It's not my thing. But I think Spider and I are about the same age, I'm pretty sure. And so
38. I'm closer to Jamie, actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
I'm an older man. Like, yeah.
That's lovely. we're all around the same age at this point. Yeah, the numbers are close enough. Okay. Yeah, it's not something that I've ever gotten into. Now, with the caveat of if it's entertaining people, like, I'm not going to sit and watch a whole playthrough of a game, but I would happily watch like experiences with a game, especially if
and
it's
that's
a game,
what it is.
Yeah.
If I'm it's not a game watching that the I entire know game. I'm
not going to play, but kind of am interested in or want to see a part of or something like that.
Exactly.
It's a good outlet for that. I don't do it a ton, but I have done it and have been entertained by it. The people who just like watch people play PUBG or Fortnite like all day.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't get that either. But people love that too.
But I love switching between games and learning about new stuff. It's more like I know I'm not going to have the time to go through and play these 20 games, but if I can get a quick 30-minute to hour experience with each one and kind of get an idea what it's like, then it's like, all right, I feel like I kind of get the gist of what's going on here.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll find one where it's like, okay, I definitely need to buy this and play it.
I think there's value there for sure. All right, Jamie, what modern game are you playing?
So I've been playing Divinity Original Sin, and we talked about it a little bit on the last roundtable, I think. And I have to say, if you are not playing this and you like D&D at all, you have to pick this thing up. And the reason I say that is because remember in Diablo 2 where you're playing Diablo and there are like four set pieces for Diablo 2? You know, like you're in the desert and then you're in the swamp or whatever. Yeah. Okay, this is very, very similar. And because it's set up that way, I texted you yesterday because I was pissed off because I played for an hour and I wandered into a place where I had no business being and didn't realize it and got killed, right?
So which one are you playing? The first or the second one?
The second one.
Okay.
And so like I'd played for an hour to an hour and a half, walked up on a guy and got killed, right? Like, it has no compunction about just wiping you out. You really have to pay attention to where you're at and what you're doing, and it's very similar to a D&D campaign, because if you go one way, you'll probably be all right. If you go the other way, you're probably gonna die, you know? And I really like that about that game.
And the idea that you died and like you lost time is so like foreign to me. I will say that happened to me in Horizon, where you have the campfire checkpoint system that I died a couple of times and was like, oh my goodness, that was a long time ago since last I had a checkpoint. But playing something like God of War right now, where I die a fair amount, and so I appreciate this, it always just is right at the beginning of the fight I died in. Like, it never takes me back past where I just died. I just have to start that fight over, which is good because, like, the God of War fight system is you kind of learn the strategy for the fights, and so if you die a couple times, you get better and whatever. But it's a very different experience in a game that kind of punishes you more for dying.
It's intriguing because there is a quick save. But if somebody walks up on you as... That's what happened yesterday. A guy walked up on me and just clocked me, right? If a guy walks up on you and you get sucked into a battle, there's nowhere to quick save. Because once you get in the battle, the quick save goes off.
Right.
So, so it's there. And you have the ability to quick save, and you can quick save anywhere you want until you get into a battle, and then it's like, oh crap, you know. And so for all of my complaining, I really dig that about the game, because you really do have to pay attention.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing. I think that's especially for a game like that. That has that D&D RPG element to it, like that you feel punished for dying is good.
And I mean, it's like a serious punishment because I had leveled up. Like I had leveled up. I'd gotten some equipment. I'd
gone through the time to level up.
Yeah. and then this guy walks up and he's like, yeah, you're dead. And I'm low enough level that there's nothing I can do about it. You know, and so it's something that you don't see a lot of in games these days.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Jamie. So on something like that, and I get it, it's difficult, especially playing online and, you know, and the person on the other end doesn't know that you're a person with, you know, limited mobility, but it still gets frustrating. I mean, even I, you know, someone like myself, just you try and walk around open world and you just get killed. You know, you want people to leave you alone. I don't know how related it is, but are you aware, like in Assassin's Creed, to step it back, that there is like an explore option on that game? And I hope they add it to more, but they built it in for like educational purposes. I don't know how attractive something like that would be to you, to where you turn off basically all the combat and you can explore the world, all the different museums and the art pieces and the, you know, and go around. You can actually do it in their PlayStation VR as well. But you could just move around in it and just take a look at all the pyramids and things like that without fear of, hey, I want to check this out, and then just, you know, getting stabbed by some NPC or something. And
Divinity is the same way. They have like an X4 type setting, which I did not turn on to start because I want to play an RPG. But if I get to the point, like if I turn it on after the show and do an hour and somehow don't save again and lose another hour, we may be doing that, you know.
Well, you've let all of us know that you're a guy that likes to watch, you know what I'm saying? I just figured, you know, that could be a happy medium for you.
Well, let me
apparently you like to watch Tommy.
Let me just put it to you this way, sir. When you're in the situation that I'm in, you're not real picky about what you're watching. That's all I'm saying.
He's coming to visit you, Tommy.
I'm aware.
I already told you to keep that baby away from him. Holy shit. What was he trying to feed that kid?
Ice cream.
Yeah, like all Oreos. Kinds of stuff. I'm gonna give her over. Hey, you want some beef jerky, baby? You know what?
Hey, he's lived with me for like 13 years. He has lived with me for 13 years. He knows that this is how this works and that I don't really think before I speak. He knows this.
Exactly why you can't be left alone with the child.
That's fair. He's not going to be left alone with the child.
Just disable his chair, like disable
the battery out.
Yeah,
there you go.
And then put the baby like 10 feet away. Hey, problem solved. Good.
Fair enough. And
that way, if there's a problem with the baby, he can yell to you. But can
not. Well, let me just say this, okay?
There's nothing you can say, buddy.
No, all of that you just said is fair. I'll give you that. But let me just say this. I have two nieces and they have survived so far. Okay.
Were you allowed to be around them when they were real little?
Yes, they were in my house.
Yeah,
Tommy
all the
can
time.
Verify that. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I've been around Jamie with children, little children. So
were you allowed to try and feed them?
I swear, man, you make one innocent comment on
No.
You want to give one baby ice cream.
I think Jamie has enough trouble feeding himself, but trying to feed somebody else is just going to get... I think the baby will be better off feeding itself.
That's fair.
I could let the ice cream go, but then he said something else. I was like, oh, son of a bitch, he's going to kill this kid. What's going on?
Yeah, I think she's got enough protection around her. He's not going to be able to get that close to her, so...
I'm glad to be entertainment for you people. That's all I have to say. And thank you very much because I've been working since I'm going to Dallas. I haven't told Tommy this, but since I'm going to his place, I've never been there. I don't know when or how, but I'm probably going to try and find me an open mic somewhere. And I think you guys just wrote 15 minutes of material for me. So I really do appreciate that.
That is true. That would be entertaining. I like it. All that being said,
I expect my royalty check in about 2 months.
All right.
We need to wrap up. So thank you guys for being here. Good times, as always. Thanks. Everybody who supports us on Patreon listens to the show. We got a PayPal donation this week, which was super cool. So thank you for that.
That was awesome.
We will take it. And anybody else that wants to participate via Patreon or PayPal or whatever, you can find all that over at GamingUncensored.com, which you should go check out because it looks different. It is new, and we will be talking about that more on the next show. And so, but go check GamingUncensored.com out because it's cool. Email us, GamingUncensored@gmail.com. Voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Especially with E3 coming up, let us know your thoughts over there. We'll put some on the show. It'll be a good time. So,
everybody needs to pay attention because we're about to be in a place that we've never been in before, and that is a place with fiber internet, which means we can stream for 6 hours straight, 6 days, and you guys aren't gonna know what to
do. As he breaks up.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he's not on it yet.
It's super appropriate.
Yeah.
For sure.
We're going to be on fun.
Well played. So yes, we will be having a lot of fun. We will have tons of content coming your way over the next couple of weeks, and so yeah, be prepared. Lots of good stuff that'll be coming to the Patreon during that as well. And so if you've considered in the past contributing via Patreon, this would be a good time to do it because there's going to be lots of content showing up over there in the next couple of weeks with E3. So yeah, anything else before we wrap up, guys?
That's
get your money on that Patreon. Jamie needs money for booze and hookers when he goes to Dallas. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah!
Hookers, Jamie, and you just need controller.
Jamie, you just need to set up your own charity, and then we can all donate directly to you, and we can tax deduct it.
There you go.
Dude, that's a great idea. We'll Let's do that.
That's right.
We'll call it Meals for Wheels.
All right, I'm going to plug myself.
Lawsuit pending.
Go ahead, Chad.
We're recording a new episode of Popcorn and Games on Tuesday. The Dom father, Dom from Gears of War, is going to be on. Yeah, he's calling in.
Very nice.
Yep. I got to hang out with him a couple weekends ago. Real cool guy, Carlos Farrow. Does a bunch of different VO stuff, but yeah, he's going to call in on the show on Tuesday, so check that out on Popcorn and Games podcast.
Very cool. Good plugs. I like it.
I'll call you guys one of these times, but you guys are usually in bed or something. Like
that's fair.
Hey, we'll be up for E3, maybe.
If you're up when we're recording, I'll call you fools. It'll be like midnight. No, you guys are central. It'll be like 11:30 your time.
Yeah.
We're not normally up that late, but it's E3, so maybe we could pull it off.
We'll see what happens. We got a baby in the house, so
let you know.
Plan appropriately. Okay. All that being said, thank you guys again for being here. This is the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. We'll be back with a new show probably later in the week, so I look forward to that. For right now, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.